I'm in a weird place. I'm not in the sense of physically, in the sense of in here, in my walk with God. And it very much feels like when I first got into recovery, I didn't know who I was anymore. I didn't know what my life was about anymore. And the old Joe was dying, but the new Joe wasn't born yet. It was still in I didn't know how to handle, I didn't know what to do. I felt lost. And the difference between that season of my life and 30 years later after walking with God, and this is another thing I found out, that you can feel like you're on a path and then it can go to a different path. And God's still with us, and like that song said, he puts those broken pieces, because what happens is we get broken in pieces, and he puts it back together. And while that's being put together, you're in a weird place. And but what I've learned, one of the things I've learned from that time to this time, is do not neglect connection. Do not neglect the people. Do not neglect them in the sense of, you know, I'm not going to do anything for them, but do not pull away from them. Because oftentimes in our hurts and pains, we pull away from people, we pull away, we disconnect. And when we disconnect, what we revert back to is the broken place that we were at one point in our lives. Because oftentimes after we come to the Lord, we come disconnected. Everybody starts out life disconnected from God, disconnected. I've shared this with you guys a lot of times, disconnected from ourselves. We don't know who we are. We don't know what we're about. And that's kind of where I find myself right now. I thought I knew me, but with all that's transpired, I don't know, really know me. I'm a different guy, and I don't know who this guy is. And he's like a new guy, and I'm not super familiar with him yet. Does that make sense to anybody? There's this thing going on, and so we were born disconnected from God, disconnected from ourselves. Many of us have lived chunks of our life not knowing who we are, not even comfortable in our own skin, not comfortable with where we're at, who we are. We don't even know who we are, and then we're disconnected from the world. Feel like we don't fit, and we're disconnected from the environment. We're disconnected from the earth. And that's the way man, after the fall of Adam and Eve, that's the general nature of us. So God, his desire is to connect with us. God was on a mission to find us lost people. He wanted to connect. Tells us in Luke 19:10, probably my favorite verse. I know it's Kevin's favorite verse. In all of Scripture is this: for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. He was on a mission. I believe in my heart that God looks at us much more as lost than as bad. We're lost. We do bad things because we're lost. We don't know where to go. We don't know what to do. And you know what? The crazy thing about following God is once we're found, we get lost again. And we tend to get lost numerous times. And God comes to seek and save. And that word save is interesting because it has to do with healing. There's multiple healings that have to take place in our lives. And that's a lifelong process. Why? Because we get wounded all through life. The smartest among us quit wounding ourselves so much. Because you can't deal, you know, you can't stop being wounded by people. You know, we isolate from them to try to disconnect so we protect ourselves, but we find ourselves in a worse place because we weren't designed to do that. We just don't know how to handle it. So when we isolate out, we're putting ourselves in a situation that is even worse than being wounded. So we run into that and we get lost. The Lord comes and he finds us, and then he puts us right again. But then that's his mission, but he does it because he's motivated by love and service to humanity. He wants to serve. Jesus said, I came to serve, not be served. I came to serve. It says, for God so loved the world. Everybody knows this, well, not everybody, but a lot of us in Christianity know it. For God so loved the world, and that world is not the world as in the universe or even as the planet, it's the world of people. It says that he gave, he served again. He gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish, shall not be so lost that they can never be found. But he will bring them to life. He will give them eternal life and a life on this earth. John 10:10, Jesus said this. He says, listen, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. You know what the key word in there is? May. When God finds you and brings you out from that lost place, he says, you may have life. So there's an option in there. I may have Jesus, but have no life. He says, I may, that they may have life and have that life full. The word full has to do with productive. A life that produces something. And in God's mindset, it's producing good for the world. He takes us, and many of us, we've been curses. We haven't been a blessing to the world for chunks of our life. He takes that and he transforms that into being a blessing. They don't run from me anymore, my family, when I come into their house. They don't put their jewels and stuff away. They don't let me use the downstairs bathroom only. You don't get to come upstairs, Joe. You know, he's changed that. And that was a process. Changing from anything in our lives to something different is a process, but it always involves connection. God says, the full life I want to give you changes you from a consumer of people, places, and things, and a waster of your time, talent, and resources into someone that produces good, that becomes a blessing. So a couple things happen when Jesus finds us. The first thing is this: God brings us into relationship with Christ, resulting in a brand new creation, Scripture says. We become born again in the Spirit, which makes us children of God. It tells us in John 1:12, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. One who receives Christ is given the right to become a child of God. You are a child of God by rights. It is your right. My core identity, it is right. I am a child of God. I am by right. But who said that? God said that. If you cannot be settled in that place in your relationship with God, that he has found you, he will give you life, and he will keep you, you will continue to audition for childhood position. You will audition for God to try to be good enough to get in the family. And then when you're not good enough, you failed the audition. And then you'll come up to the altar and pray again that God gives you another chance to audition. And then you'll audition again. And then you'll fail again. Then you'll audition and fail. Audition, you know, that's where we fall into this confess, sin, confess. I confess my sin. I sin again. I confess it again. I sin again. I confess it again. And with the idea of if I just quit sinning, I'll be good with God. How many have ever had that belief? How's it worked for you? Have you stopped sinning? Are you still a child of God? You are forgiven. You are brought into the family. And then from there, God's Holy Spirit comes into you, connection, and begins to transform you from the inside out. He transforms the way you think. Because the reason we sin is we still think there's value to it. We still think there's a plus to it. That's the reason we sin. We think that there's something that God isn't really telling us, that God is going to, you know, his idea is good, but my idea is better. And that I can find a shortcut. There is no shortcuts in the journey to God. That's just the longer way. So God connects with us, and then once we become a child of his, we are brought into his family. We now belong to a community, a universal community with the saints that have gone before us and the saints walking around on this earth everywhere. And now we belong, we have a place to belong. We have a family to belong to. And this is where growth really takes place. It's in connecting to the family. God never designed church to be an event. And we go to an event, and oh, dang it, Chris ain't preaching today. God, oh, I don't know, they're not going to sing that song. Oh, they are. Oh, God, they're not going to repeat it 40 times, are they? And that's all consumer mentality, because changing our outlook is a process. But you know what? You can only grow by connecting with people. You and I always should have someone that's farther ahead than us inputting us. And we should have someone that's not as far as us that we're inputting. We get to do that. You have a role in the family. You are not the stepchild that God doesn't like. He took you in, but somebody had to foster you. And there is no favorites. There is no most disliked. He loves us, and he's placed us in his family for a purpose. And you know what that purpose is? To serve, to grow, to bless people. Two greatest commandments: love God, stay close to him, stay connected to him, and love your neighbor as yourself. You need to love your neighbor. Love always requires a do part. And so that means we have to participate. One of the cool things we're doing today, and we do it a few times a year, is we call it Connection Sunday. So you guys that aren't involved with the church at any level except coming get to see what we do. And also you get to an opportunity to participate in something. You know, I would like to challenge you, if you've never participated, to tithe your time. Tithing our money for some of us is just, wow! That cannot be in the Bible. But what about your time? Do you spend a tenth of your time actively doing something for God? To serve God's people, or to serve those that aren't God's people yet? I call them pre-believers. I don't know if they're an unbeliever, but they're definitely a pre-believer. What do we do? It's vitally important, because you know what that causes in us? That causes us to grow. And listen, this is what you are from God's perspective that Paul tells us in Corinthians 12. Just as a body, though one, just as a family, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. The same Holy Spirit that lives in me lives in you. And you are gifted with the creativity, the talents, the perspective, the experiences that God wants to use you in. To bless other people. But I don't know, you know, God, I'm not really talented. Well, that's What's that got to do with anything? You have time? You got time, right? You got some time. If you don't have any time, you're not taking care of your time right. He says, goes on to say this, for we are all baptized in one spirit as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free. We are all given the one spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part. Part is the smaller word for participant in it. You know, by not participating, that's your participation. I participate by not showing up. Well, you know what that does? It makes the other parts of the body work harder. They say in a regular church, you have an 80-20 principle. 20% of the people do 80% of the work, and 20%, 80% do 20. We all have a role to play. We all have something to give. And you know what that does? See, when you add value, see, that's what it does. When I serve somebody, I add value to their life. I say, you are valuable. Even saying hi to somebody presents them with value. When you serve somebody, you help them. And it doesn't even have to be big stuff. Because we in our heads, we kind of oftentimes minimize little helps and think that I'll help if I get this big thing I can do. Remember what Jesus said, if you gave a cup of water in my name. Next time you're buying a coffee, buy somebody a coffee. Buy that person behind you a coffee. And say, this, you know, I just want to tell you this is from Jesus. You get a reward for that. That's a cool thing. You know, the only currency in heaven, and I've shared it with you guys before, is service. That's the only thing you will present to God in heaven as what you did on earth. It's the currency of service. Praying for people. That's currency in heaven. That's serving them. Half the time I pray for people up here that are praying for others, my prayer is for them to stay praying for them. Don't give up. Stand in the gap for them. Wherever they're at, you stand here between them and heaven and intercede for them. You don't serve people by critiquing them. How many have been served by having people blast you? We have been served by constructive criticism. And you know where that is almost always received? From somebody who has already said you're valuable. If they already believe that you believe in them, they are much more likely to hear something about them that might need to be addressed. I was just speaking with somebody the other day, and you know, we were talking about modesty. And you know, I can't tell you how many times people that just come to the Lord come into church, especially women, come into church, you know, not dressed churchy. And it's weird because after a while they start to change, you know, for whatever reason. But I'll always get some complaints about, you know, that person over there. Did you see the way they were dressed, Pastor Joe? You should go address them. I go, I don't even know them. You know, why would I go address them? Well, they're not dressing appropriately. I go, you know what? I don't know where they are with those. Do they know? Have you talked to them? No. Are you kidding? The way they're dressed? I said they're here. Exactly. They're here, aren't they? That's a step in the right direction. You know, let's love them where they're at. before we try to change them. And you know, that's the thing with God. It was always relationship first, then change. If I'm not willing to serve somebody by being in some type of relationship with them, then I'm not in any position to start telling them what to do is right. And you know what the crazy thing is? When you hear someone's story, it changes the way you look at them. It changes the way you look at them. In a couple months from now, when we start our summer series, this is an aside, but we have a friend, I have a friend that I didn't know him, but I grew up blocks away from him in Santa Ana. He was a former Black Panther. And he was, in fact, in charge of the Black Panthers in Orange County. And I didn't hang out with Black Panthers. Didn't know much about them, except they were bad. And I stayed away. But I heard his story. And he's part of our fellowship. Great guy. I love this guy. His name's Daniel. I don't even know if he's here today. Is he here? Okay. All right, wherever he is. Slept in, yeah. And he's wise. I understood in one 48-minute interview, watching him speak about his life and his journey and the prejudices he experienced and the rebelness in his heart and all that stuff. I was humbled to be in his presence. It was a humbling experience to me. So I can't wait for you guys to hear his story in a couple months. But that connection changed my understanding. And I grew up in Santa Ana, so I had an understanding of racial stuff. But I didn't, it gave it, you know, especially back in that day, it was pretty much black and white. And it changed me profoundly and made me a better person. And reality was, he served me. He served me by his story. And you know, when we get to connect with people and hear their stories and they hear our stories, we serve one another. Your story is powerful in sharing Christ with someone. And I'm not just talking about your salvation story, if you have one. I'm talking about what your story is now. Where my story is now, walking with God for 30-something years, I feel like I'm in pieces. I don't know who I am. That's just where I'm at. Today, I'm okay with that, although I'm not okay with it. It's like, where did old Joe go? Where did this guy go who's trying to navigate in a cloudy walk? And I've learned a couple things. As one of them I shared with you, stay in connection. Even when you feel like you're going through the motions. Because sometimes you're going through the motions. I feel like now I'm going through the motions. I can't see where I'm going. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, but I got no power. I'm weak. I get what Paul says that when I'm weak, Christ is strong. Because I'm weak. I feel so weak. So weak. So broken in pieces, and it's okay though. Because I've learned enough to stay connected. I learned enough to tell you guys and those closest to me what's going on in me. And you know what? It causes people to pray for me. It causes people to hang on to their walk when they feel that same way. It causes people, it helps people, and it helps me. And that's the beauty of connection. And we grow in it. Listen, so we are brought in, we're part of the body of Christ. We belong to Christ. I don't have to audition for the part anymore. I'm in, Now I'm finding out by serving, I get to find out what I'm good at. I'll tell you what, when you start talking to somebody and you're just in a place of just serving, you'll be amazed how smart you get. You'll say things out of your mouth and you go, wow, where did that come from? Where, it's God using you. When you say, I'm weak and I don't know what to do, that's the perfect place to be. When you say, I'm equipped, I'm going to lead this place. Thank God I came here. I see what a mess it is. And I've had people come up to me, Joe, I believe God sent me here to help you straighten out this place. Seriously. Tony would know. You know, I've come here, I've come here to be your right-hand man. I look at him and go, God hasn't said one word to me. Do you have a letter or something from him? Because I appreciate it, but, you know, let me pray about that. Well, you know, would you mind, you know, just kind of passing out, you know, saying hi to people when they come in the door? God called me to preach. I go, awesome, dude. Can you go at the door and preach? Preach welcome to anybody that walks in. I will not stoop to that. I have been called. I go, okay. Praise the Lord. But the opening we have is right there at the door. But, you know, I mean, that happens. How many of you have ever had people just come up to you and tell you and start what you need to do? It's always warmly received, and we move in it. But it tells us this in Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has prepared in advance of your life good works. What's another word for work? Service. Another word to make a difference in this world. He's prepared that, and he also prepares you to do it. And you know how he often prepares us? In it. You can never get to this place where I really need to prepare myself and prepare myself and prepare myself. And once I'm prepared enough, then I can do something. One, you'll never be prepared enough because most of your prepper work is on the job. Why? Because God wants to produce something in you. You know, when you add value to people, you become valuable. And you begin to value yourself. That's why when we were consumers, always looking to get, we don't have much value in ourselves. We want others to value us by giving to us. But when I start to give back, I begin to have value in myself. And God works in me in a powerful way that can only be done in service. Listen, in Galatians 5:22, it says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The word produce means to form in us. That forming only takes place in service. I cannot say I love you and never do anything for you. There's no love produced in me. But if I love you and God says to love my neighbor, you know what I'm going to have to deal with? Forgiveness. You know what I've learned too? Last night I was telling Chris, I had about an hour of me and God, probably sometime in the middle of the night where I had to forgive Ricky. That's my daughter's murderer, and I had a list of like 70 things, because I've forgiven that guy, I don't know, 7 times a week, but you know, I'll be driving in my car, and I'll have a flash of seeing her in my mind running from him, and you know, just the flash of stuff, and I'll go, I cannot help it. It comes up. And then I have to practice forgiving him again. Because I used to have this idea sometimes. Because some things are easy to forgive. You forgive them once and it's good to go. We don't think about it again. Other things, you got to practice forgiving over and over and over. And I'm finding that in this situation that, I got to. And so last night I just went through this long list of all that what he did has caused hate in me toward him. He stole my daughter's life. It's on and on and on. He was a bad husband. I had to forgive him for that, for hurting my daughter in that way. Bad parent. I mean, I had all kinds of things I had to forgive him for. How it affected my life, how it's affected my relationship with my wife. I had to forgive him for that. How it's changed my whole direction in life. How it's done this, and I forgave, and I forgave, and I forgave, and I forgave. See, that's fruit of the Spirit being produced in me, forgiveness. That is, but it's only in relationship. I was in relationship with him. He was part of our family. That's why the fruit of the Spirit can only be accomplished in connection with people. I learn what forgiveness is. I learn how God has to forgive me over and over again. I learn what it means to love. All this stuff. Gentleness, self-control. I learned that I can't control some feelings that come up. They come out and they just come out. And I learned not to condemn myself. I'm learning to be okay at where I'm at in this walk with God at this point in my journey toward heaven. See, the fruit of the Spirit, that's what adds value to you. When I can become gentle, when I have wisdom, I mean, there's fruit of this. See, this is the thing about fruit of the Spirit. It's not for you. The fruit you produce is given to people. A tree that produces fruit doesn't eat it. It doesn't even get to pick who takes it, except in the Wizard of Oz. When those guys were throwing the apples at, those guys. But other than that, I've never seen a tree, have issues with who takes the fruit. Does not withhold the fruit. It gives it. And that adds value to people. That adds value to them. How many of us have been wounded by people that were not patient with us? How many of us grew up in families that there was no forgiveness? How many grew up in family where there wasn't gentleness, it was harsh and brutal? How'd that help you? Did that add value to your life? Or did that demean your life? Did that take you to a worse place? See, when the fruit is being produced in us, and it can only be produced in connection, in serving others. One thing I learned to do is become generous. Because when you serve others without expecting anything in return, that's true service. I'm giving you this. That's why I never have a problem when I give anybody anything. Why? Because I don't expect anything in return. I've learned my lesson of giving to people and expecting applause, an attaboy, some kind of payback. Because all that does is when they don't, that causes resentment and bitterness and scorekeeping. I did that in my marriage for a while. But if I did something for Trace, she owes me. But the crazy part was, if You know, if she did something for me, I didn't really count that. That's kind of expected. Because I'm that kind of guy. I know none of you got that thing going. We got to get out of here. Listen, here's my challenge to you. It doesn't matter what your skill set, your abilities, all that stuff. What does matter is you can serve with what you possess. And what do you possess? You possess time. You possess time. Everyone in here possesses 24 hours a day. We all possess that. Challenge yourself to tithe that time. Tithe something of that to bless others. And what you'll do is you'll find out, wow, I feel good about myself. You want a satisfied life? Serve. And you'll feel satisfied. You'll have a satisfaction, even when you don't want to. Like right now, I've told you all this stuff about me. I feel good. I'm serving you guys, or I'm trying to, and I feel good about that. I feel like, it adds to me. And I've learned that. If I give of the fruit that I do have, and people eat that, I feel good. Plus, I'm Italian, and that's what we do. We give people food when they come to the house. But anyway, listen, God will make what you have enough. Number of Jesus' miracles, a couple fish and some loaves. It was enough. It was enough. Serve with what you have, and you will also grow. You will grow. So listen, here's something to take with you. You'll learn more as you help people be better. You want to grow in your life? Help people be better. Even in little things, you'll grow. Find yourself stingy? Buy somebody something. And you know what happens as you serve? Your skill set expands. How does it expand? You see where you don't or where you lack. And now that usually causes in us a hunger to expand something in our lives. Serving is the motivation to continue on going on the path. You know what keeps me sober? You guys. God, first of all, but you guys and my family. I'm motivated by that because I have to come here on Sunday. I can't party on Saturday. That wouldn't be right. But see, if I didn't have any area of service, I'm left to Joe. And I've grown enough to know that Joe is a dangerous person to Joe. You're the most dangerous person to you out there. Serving keeps me on the lane. It keeps me in my lane. It keeps me doing stuff that is right. And then this is the beautiful thing. We got to get out of here too, because I told them I'd do it at 10 after and we can't. So we're going to end with Matthew 25:21. When you see Jesus up in heaven, I want you guys to stand before him. You're already his child, so you're already there. But I want you to be rewarded as a servant. Where the master replies, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. And the only thing I'm asking you today to be faithful in is time. Be faithful in your time. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness or satisfaction so you can be that kind of servant. Amen? So go have some food. Check out what we got going. And if you're not serving, say, and if you have served and you've been, I got burned by serving. So what? Keep producing fruit. Oh, you get to do what Joe gets to do. He gets to forgive 7 times a week till it actually sticks. Lord, bless these guys. Take care of them. In Jesus' name, amen. See you guys.